Om Shri Sai Ram. My loving and humble salutations at the divine lotus feet of our beloved master, Bhagavan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear distinguished guests, respected elders, sisters and brothers, a warm welcome to you all. Welcome back to the second day of Sai 360, where we will continue to focus on the theme, Love is the Path. To commence our Sai 360 session for this afternoon, I would like to request Brother Dashin Reddy to share with us a summary of proceedings so far. Brother Dashin hails from Johannesburg, South Africa, and he has completed his Bachelor of Arts in Psychology with honors. Brother Dashin currently serves as the Zone 9A Youth Coordinator. Please welcome Brother Dashin Reddy.
My humble pranams at the lotus feet of my beloved Baba. Om Sai Ram, dear respected elders, and my dear brothers and sisters. I feel blessed and fortunate that Swami has given me this opportunity to summarize today's proceedings for you. I'm going to take you through a quick journey of today's wonderful events and exciting and spiritually uplifting activities. Firstly, we started with a highly energized morning at Hillview Stadium, and this session gave us the opportunity to meet and interact with our dear brothers and sisters from many countries from around the world. At a festival of this nature, we often realize that borders and rivers may divide us, but Swami brings us all together. Swami is the love and the link between each and every one of us. As you know, all rivers lead to one ocean. Similarly, each and every one of us is on a spiritual path. However, we all merge with the divine at some point. Following on from the morning at Hillview, we had the opportunity to listen to our dear sister Sayusha, the Zonal 4 Youth Coordinator, and she was followed by the esteemed Dr. Chandani, a Satya Sai Youth of India. And last but definitely not least, our ever so loving and caring Miss Alida Parks, the Zone 6 Chair. Once our dear speakers had completed, we were thereafter treated to melodious bhajans to soothe us. The voice of these divine instruments often brings tears to many of our eyes because it reminds us of the love that our beloved Baba has for each and every one of us. We then moved over into the Purnachandra Hall for the youth program. And as many of you know, day one kept us excited and wanting more. Similarly, day two kept us on the edge of our seats, urging and wanting more from the program. The inspiring talk by Dr. Chandrasekhar Narayan, the Director of Research for IBM USA, allowed youth to dream big and know that they can achieve success and rise to greater heights with Swami. Sailing through the ocean of life was the next exciting event on the program. And as the waves of the oceans are up and down, so too are the lives of all of us as youth. It astounded me as to how many of us share commonalities in both our challenges, but also our coping mechanisms. The Sai 360 debate talk show was the platform chosen to deliver this message to each and every one of you. This segment brought upon interesting debates based on the topics and questions raised by each and every one of you sitting here today. We then moved on to Seva, and Seva, as many of us know, is an integral aspect on our spiritual journey. And Swami has in many discourses emphasized the need to serve our fellow mankind who are less fortunate. This is for our personal development and spiritual progress. We were fortunate to have different countries share the wonderful Seva projects running their countries. We heard from our dear brothers from Mauritius and India, and it shows the strength of Swami's lions and the great service they can render. Many of us learned from these speakers and will hopefully take these seva projects back to our own countries. As you know, many of us waited anxiously to attend the workshops once the topics and the facilitators were released in the program for the World Youth Festival. These speakers were carefully chosen due to their wealth of knowledge in those respective areas that they presented in. We covered the following topics: Secrets to Spiritual Fitness, presented by Dr. Hari Kanjivaram, In Tune with the Name, which taught us about bhajans and namasmarana, and this was presented by Mr. Ravi Kumar, Mr. Amey Deshpand, and Mr. Raju Siddhartha. Thereafter, we moved on to Step Up to Serve, which was made up of leading and volunteering in service projects, and this was rendered by Mr. Grana himself. The last topic that we had was Post, Tweet, Like and Share, which was the social media aspect in spirituality, which was workshopped by Ms. Vani Santira Segaram. Brothers and sisters, now I stand in front of you and I can feel the youthful energy from each and every one of you wanting more. And lucky for all of us, there is much more to come. There is a drama and a musical presentation and lots more to follow. I look forward to meeting and engaging and learning from each and every one of you present here today from various parts of the world. Divided by borders, connected by Swami, sail through the ocean of life with its ups and downs, knowing that Swami is ever present, guiding and guarding each and every one of us. Enjoy the remainder of the World Youth Festival and absorb the divine energy we have been given by our beloved Baba, Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, Brother Dashin, for such a wonderful summary of today's events. It is now my honor to invite Brother Lorenzo Casadio to address us. Brother Lorenzo is originally from Italy, and he has completed his Master's of Business Administration at HEC Paris in France and Duke University in America. He is currently working for Siemens Wind Power and Renewables and also serves in the board of Zone 6. Please welcome Brother Lorenzo Casadio.
My most loving pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet. Distinguished guests, respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, Om Sai Ram. Youth is that stage where we have to learn how to navigate the waters of the ocean of life. We have duties to accomplish and objectives to achieve. Bhagavan has set a very high bar for those who have met him at a young age. In fact, he wants his youth to be a factor of change, to improve and uplift our societies, and at the same time to conduct a spiritual life. But where do we find the strength and the capabilities to progress in the spiritual path and at the same time to make us an impact in our profession, in our personal lives, and in our societies? Bhagavan has extensively addressed these questions in his speeches and writings, which now more than ever we should treasure when we want to look for guidance and inspiration. He has also made us aware that it is, yes, on the surface of that ocean where our action has to take place. But that surface is not the only dimension of our navigation. In fact, underneath it, there is an abyss that can be found in the depth of the ocean itself. That abyss is made of deep and quiet waters. If on the surface of the ocean we find constant change and constant uncertainty, in that abyss there is peace and stillness. If it is among the waves where our energies are consumed in the pursuit of our duties, it is in that abyss where we find inspiration, sense of purpose, and new strength. Therefore, having a constant connection with that dimension of deep waters, it is key for our success while navigating the ocean of life. How can we access that depth to draw the needed strength and energies out of it? The main way to access it is by establishing a deep relationship with Bhagavan, who is the one who has pointed out to us the existence of that depth, who is its gatekeeper, and who is that depth himself. Then what kind of relationship should we have with him? Once Swami asked me, "What is God?" You know, when Swami asks you these questions, it's very hard to come up with the right answer. And then I said, "Swami, you are God." And then Swami asked me again, "Who am I?" And then it took me a little bit of courage to come up with this answer. But I said, "Swami, you are my best friend." And then Swami smiled, and with that smile, he showed to be approving my answer. Bhagavan has often encouraged the youth to develop friendship with God and to consider God as our best friend. Friendship with God is not just a definition taken from our common language, but it has a very deep and profound meaning for him. In fact, Bhagavan says there are 9 forms of devotion. The first one, which is the one of the beginners, the one who is approaching God for the first time, is listening to the Leelas and to the stories of God. The 9th form, which is the most advanced one, the ultimate one, it is the self-surrender. And friendship with God is the 8th form, the one right before the ultimate one. And Bhagavan says, of all the 9 forms of devotion, friendship is the most important. It is only when you cultivate this feeling of friendship with God that you can reach the last stage of self-surrender. Therefore, considering him as our closest friend, it is a great opportunity, but also a very big commitment from our side, because we need to have a constant and daily dialogue with him. Swami didn't like me giving so much importance to friends and not having the right priorities, because if you give so much importance to friends, the one who is at the top of your priorities might not be God. And then he told me, "You always think about friends, friends, friends. This is wrong," he said. He said, "Friends come and go. God is your only and best friend. And God will always be with you." Of course, later on, as it happens in life, most of my friends of that time took different paths, and we ended up losing each other more and more. Challenges started to come by, and the only one who was always there to support me was Bhagavan himself. Whenever there was a major problem that could have left long-term scars or could have had a long-term negative impact, Swami was reducing his impact, was healing his wounds, and was making sure that this problem would become only a passing cloud. Whenever there was a major decision to take, Swami was with his sweet voice providing guidance. And even the situation that at the beginning looked like very complicated riddles, with this support, they transformed into clear and straight directions. By doing so, Swami was showing that he was taking the role of friend very seriously, and he was also showing which kind of standard I should have complied with in order to be able to carry on this friendship. In fact, a friendship which is carried on only by one part sooner or later becomes weaker, and then it might dissolve. How can we develop this friendship with him now that is not giving darshan and walking among us as he used to do before? How can we get his guidance now in these days? To address these points, he has repeated many times that he is in us, with us, and around us. And then he has also taught us that we should listen to the inner voice, the voice of the master in ourselves. And he has said many times, "Your conscience is your master." We all have had many experiences in our life where we have listened to this voice, and there we felt like we were progressing. And some other times we had experienced that we didn't listen to this voice, and then we felt like we were crashing towards some wall. I would like to share an experience that I had in this field. In fact, not many years ago, I decided to pursue an MBA. And before applying for business schools, I wanted to get Swami's blessings and approval. Swami seemed to be liking the idea, and he gave me his blessings, and he gave me also some general instruction as about where, how to do it and where to do it, like in which countries. Then he didn't say anything about the subjects that I should have taken, so I felt like I had completed the free choice to choose whatever topic I wanted. So when I started, I decided to start focusing my studies on finance topics. The more I was studying finance, I have to say I was getting fine grades. I enjoyed it. I felt like this topic was not the perfect fit for myself, but everything was going well. Plus, in my school, there was a very big, let's say, it was very fashionable studying finance. So, you know that when something is very fashionable and everybody wants to do it, then also you might end up liking it somehow. But the more I was advancing and progressing in my finance studies, the more I was feeling uncomfortable, and I couldn't understand why. As I just said, I enjoyed studied that topic, and the grades were okay, were fine. During the summer vacation, I went to put a party, and Swami inquired me about how the MBA was going. I gave him an update about what I was doing, what was my timeline. I said that I was right in the middle of it, and Swami was just, he didn't say anything, he was just listening, and he didn't give me any further instructions. So I went back to Europe, and I continued to study finance. But my feeling of unease was growing and growing every day. At some point, I also got an internship from a company. It's one of these brands that you would like to have in your CV, so it was a good company. And it was an internship in finance. I received the contract from this company and by mail, and the letter said that I had 7 days to put my signature on it and to send it back to them. So the more I was looking at this contract, actually, the more I was feeling uncomfortable, and I couldn't put my signature on it. I didn't know why. I wanted to start working as soon as possible. I liked the company. It was just a 4-month experience. But I was not feeling the motivation to put my signature on that paper. Then, 2 days before the deadline was coming, I decided, okay, tomorrow morning I'm going to put my signature on it, and I'm going to send it back. So, no matter what, I'm going to start. I remember I went to bed after being with my friends from school, and they were like, oh, you are very lucky to have gotten an internship from this company. You are one of the luckiest ones here, because this year it was not very easy to get internships. But I was not feeling comfortable at all. The morning afterwards, where I had planned to sign that contract, I was woken up at 6 a.m. by a phone call. In that week, my parents were in put a party. And that moment, that day, at 6 a.m., it happened that they went just out of an interview with Swami. My parents said, as soon as I picked up, my parents said, Swami has said that you should stop studying finance and you should take an MBA in marketing. And I was like, why did you bring up this topic with him? Everything was okay. I didn't ask you to bring up to get any guidance from him. But then my parents didn't say anything to him. He brought up this topic himself, and he gave me guidance to stop studying finance. And then my parents asked him, and what about this internship? And Swami made an expression of dislike. So after a few months that I felt I was holding my breath, that morning I got a huge breath of fresh air. And basically, since I couldn't follow the voice in me who was telling me not to do that, not to continue that path, and not to study that topic, Swami at the end intervened, and he avoided me to continue on a street which would have provided me the satisfaction. So this is Swami. He's the one, he's our inner voice, and he's the one that if we are on the wrong path, he gives us guidance. But of course, he's not always there to give us, to tell us what we should do. And now it's our responsibility to be able to follow this voice and to take the courage to follow it, even if sometimes it takes massive actions and sometimes we need to go against all what we think is good for us, because this voice knows what is good for us. If we listen to that inner voice and we make it part of our lives, we can follow his guidance as we used to do before. And our will be fully aligned and one with his will. In fact, Bhagavan is that inner voice that we feel in ourselves, and is that depth under the ocean from where our voice comes from. I would like to conclude by quoting a bhajan of Swami on this topic. It's a bhajan we all know by heart, and it was composed by him at the age of 14. The bhajan says, Manasa bhajare guru charanam, dustara bhavasa garataranam. And in English it means, meditate in your mind on the feet of the guru. This can take you across the difficult sea of existence in birth after birth. Thank you. Om Sairam.
Thank you, Brother Lorenzo, for your inspiring words, sharing your personal experiences, and reminding us about the importance of making friendship with God. We now have the privilege to be addressed by our guest speaker for the evening, Mr. Ramachandran Venkataramanan. Mr. Ramachandran Venkataramanan is presently the managing trustee of the Sir Dorabji Tata Trust, and he is responsible for both managing and overseeing all of the Tata Trust foundations. Mr. Venkataramanan has over 20 years of business and operations experience in the areas of finance, business support, and strategy. Mr. Venkataramanan is a science graduate, and he has earned his MBA from the Sri Satya Sai University. He is also a law graduate from Mumbai University, and he has went on to complete his advanced management program from the Harvard School of Business. Dear Swami, we would now like to invite Mr. Ramachandran Venkataramanan.
Pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Baba. Respected dignitaries, young brothers and sisters. A few weeks ago, Brother Satyajit called me up and said, Mr. Dora wants to speak to you. There is an event happening in July. A few people are there. If your schedule permits, please go there. Please speak to Mr. Dora. I didn't realize what I was getting into. Normally, when a person like Mr. Dora called, not many may be aware that he was a dawn and a terror in the early 90s when we were all students. So when he says something, you better listen to him. You don't have a choice or an escape route to get away. And also standing before all of you where normally I'm very familiar, sitting on the other side, preferably on the last row, waiting to escape on when such speeches exist because there's some aromatic coffee at the canteen or there's some good food at somewhere else rather than in the midst of stopping elsewhere. But without much ado, one had thought of preparing quite a bit on this, but it's no point. It's better to speak from the heart and what comes out through emotion. So if I have upset anyone or caused a few ruffles, please pardon me. And also it's a very humbling experience standing. I didn't realize Nimish Bhai was here, is a very inspirational speaker, and we all grew up in our childhood. So one is literally scared of saying anything in front of people like him. So my apologies, sir. My initiation to Swami was in the early 90s, thanks to all, like many of us would have some or one of the other family members as a devotee. My grandmother was a regular bhajan goer, so thanks to her I got initiated in Swami's fold. But more than that, the attractiveness of coming here was the education. I'm really grateful to some of my seniors and colleagues in Vishakhapatnam like Mr. Ramesh Kumar and T.N. Giridhar, who encouraged me to apply to this institute. On the family front also, it was very encouraging because the education was completely free. Coming from a lower middle class background, this was a boon and a blessing in disguise, and this has stood us in good stead for the past couple of decades. Coming here was also a kind of a reality check because you're used to certain comforts in life. When we got in here, these were the days of pre-internet or pre-cell phones. If you had to speak to family at home, it used to be once in a week. You had the likes of Mr. Shiv Shankar Sai or any of the wardens watching us. Your 5 minutes is over. Your time is up. Move on to the next speaker. There's no sense of privacy. In a room, you're stuck with 14 people with diverse backgrounds, no fans, no lights, lights where there are no fans, etc. But it did teach us a lot of things. One, accept adversity as it comes. B, recognize the extent of diversity, because not everyone is like you. You will end up in your career and life with different people with different mindsets. This was in some extent encouragement of forced diversity into your day-to-day working life. And the despite what one might like it or not, with professors like Mr. Shivakumar coming up at 5 a.m. in the morning and waking up like this, will feel very irritated. But the sense of discipline that it instilled on getting up early in the morning and continuing through your work stands us in very good stead at a much later point of time, which many of you youngsters might not realize now, but 20 years later, probably one of you or many would be standing here and sharing such similar experiences. One, during the tenure, also had or went through the bits of what one calls form. So as many of you might have been aware, certain old timers, when Swami speaks to you or looks at you even remotely, you're a hero. So if you're not, then you know what it is and how it is. Nobody will even remotely look at you. So despite that, one had their moments of fame during those times, but he never let you off. And one or two instances at that time, many professors will recall, our batch of 94-96 MBA was one of the most notorious ones. So when we were passing out, not many were even allowed to stay in the hostel. We were put up in mandir rooms here. I know some of you all will remain. We were not allowed to sit in the old boys hostel. We were along, many of us, many of you all sitting there in the general crowd. But at the same time, the deep sense of wanting to take care of each and every individual in a direct or indirect form for Swami didn't cease to exist. So when I had the first opportunity of working life, my first job was in a place in Ahmedabad in Gujarat. It was 36 hours train journey from our hometown. One didn't knew what was there and what existed in life. So I'd come here to seek Swami's blessings. As usual, at that time, when you're out of form, you're out of form. You don't get anywhere close. So on the day one was leaving, one of our professors, Professor Srivastava, said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Ahmedabad." He said, "Do you know somebody there?" He said, "No, I don't know anyone." So he called up at that time the late Natubhai Shah. He came over and wrote a piece of papers. He said, "Go and meet Mr. Yagnesh Jani." I didn't know who he was, nor he had some phone number which I attempted to contact. But when we reached there, those 2 years was one of the most memorable experiences in life. And people like Mr. Jani, wherever he is, have a deep sense of gratitude. Literally, at the age of 21, when you don't know, when you have no connectivity, when a letter home goes a month later, literally took care of me as their own child. And the entire institution of Swami's institution there took proper care of many people like us, not just me, to mould one to achieve much later in one's point of time in career in life. Mentioned two specific instances. I also had the good fortune of being associated with Mr. Tata for close to a decade, and meeting him was also a very interesting experience of how one knows and interacts with people. The first time one got to know of him was in the year 2002, when, again, chance or accident, when somebody up in the hierarchy doesn't exist or disappears, then you're asked to fill in or the stand-in. So I had to stand in for my boss at that time. So when we went in, what was supposed to be a half an hour meeting ended up for a meeting of 2.5 hours. And the first thing was, he was the chairman of the largest group in the country. When he came across, I was a small-time employee in the company, he came across and said, "Hi, Ratan Tata," putting his hand up front. And it was really such a humbling experience. And towards the end of the meeting, he patted on the back, and my boss at that time said he won't wash his shirt for many years, which did happen. I threw off that shirt until I outgrew myself in physical form. Again, things or events like this, one of the other most intriguing event was a chance encounter between Mr. Tata and Swami. I'll share a couple of instances on this. This was in late 2009, where the first instance was when Swami had visited Bombay in October 2009, when Mr. Tata had the opportunity to call on him at Dharmakshetra. It was a very difficult navigating experience because on one hand, a person like Mr. Atta who has never met Swami wanting to see him. On the other hand, you're stuck on. It was a Sunday. It was one was trepidation to ask whether Mr. Atta will go and see Swami on a Sunday. The time first indicated was 6 p.m. But thanks to the crowds and others at Prabhupada Stadium, it went on till Swami didn't come to the Prabhupada Stadium till about 8 or 8.30. And then we were asked to come to Dharmakshetra, which was an hour drive away from Prabhupada Stadium. So Swami came there at about 9.30 or 9.45 and the next an hour or hour and a half was one of the most fascinating conversations that one has ever witnessed between both of them. They were talking like as if they knew each other for a long time, and in the midst of the conversation, Swami asked Mr. Atta, "What do you want?" Mr. Atta said, "Nothing." It's very rarely that one has seen, if Swami asks someone or anybody asks something, we have our own wish list of what we need from everyone, including our own bosses, friends, relatives, leave alone Swami. Someone saying that, look, I don't need anything. I'm just here just because I love the being present in your midst. So it was after that one had a chance of coming over here every quarter along with him, and every single time the experience was much more lively and invigorating than the previous one. One only wished that he had known much earlier in his time and life, but again, I think time would have to come. Last but not the least, what does this mean to all of us in some form or the other? The institution that I represent, Tata Trust, which have been in existence for close to 100 years, the first trust was created in 1892 by Jamshedji Tata, which again was followed by Sir Dharup Tata and Sir Ratan Tata, his children, who gave all or predominant part of their wealth to public charities. We all think that it might be easy, but just try giving your personal money to a cause that you feel it's appropriate. Spending others' money is perhaps very easy, but when you start putting your own wealth for a cause, you know how difficult or easy it is. It's a very scary proposition, but people like them did that 100 years ago with the sole desire to give back and make a difference to the quality of lives of people. In many ways, they followed the Sai philosophy of serve and inspire, and both them and their subsequent generations until today have been following that. All of us have a wonderful opportunity, and going by Swami's own precepts of, if you take the extent of time that he spent across various activities, the time that he spent with students was perhaps far too much disproportionate, much to the consternation of many of the faculty, the institute administrators, and many of the regulators out here. Because he believed in young people, and we all know in organizations, if we back young people and give them an opportunity to perform, they will deliver irrespective of where you are in the organization hierarchy or in the value chain. So with these, I won't stand much in the way of what the next programs end. Again, really grateful for the opportunity of standing before all of you. It's a very humbling experience. Only wish that this is a tremendous platform for all of us. Such a platform doesn't exist anywhere in the world. And many of the activities that we do or won't do, the Sai is the uniting factor for all of us. Instead of doing single individual programs in every single locality, can we think and conceive of a program or a platform which makes a difference to millions of lives? Thank you. And Jai Saram.
Thank you, Mr. Venkataramanan, for addressing us with your personal experiences and reminding us that Swami's love is everlasting, and he takes care of each and every one of us down to the smallest of details. Let us give Mr. Ramachandran Venkataramanan another round of heartfelt applause. We now have the blessing of listening to a beautiful musical offering by the World Music Team, titled What It Means to Be a Sai Youth. Their performance will take us through the journey of a Sai youth from their entry to being a youth until they graduate. Each zone has prepared a short reflection and an original song that illustrates the joys of being a Sai youth. Please welcome the World Music Team.
Happy birthday!
Okay, okay. Thank you very much, everyone. Oh boy, I'm now closer to 40 than I am to 30. I've been through high school, been through university, and now I have a beautiful family of my own. But through all of this, my greatest realization has finally come. It is today, on my 36th birthday, that I can no longer call myself a Psy youth. But I am not alone. There are many of us looking back on our experiences during this defining period of our lives. But what have the last 18 years meant to us? Is it a series of center budgeons, youth study circles, and group service activities? Or is it something more? Is it a way of life? As we sit together in this hall, take a look around. Every youth has their own story. Every youth has walked their own path to be here today. And every youth, no matter what stage of life they are at, has an experience that is valuable, that is meaningful, and that has been crafted by the Lord Himself. Swami, for you today, we offer, through spoken word and original composition, some stories of the Psy youth. We start where the journey begins for many Psy youth, as a youngster on the cusp of adulthood.
Me vine a ser. Trajiste luz. Me hiciste bien. Aunque nací en el campo, rodeada por la diversidad que suma emoción y vida, esa sensación de plenitud no duró mucho. Aún cuando era niña, a finales de los años 90 en mi país, los grupos armados subversivos y al mismo tiempo los militares comenzaron a visitarnos. Recuerdo el desespero de un padre por proteger y cuidar su familia y el sentimiento de frustración que genera abandonar el lugar donde se vivió y comenzar una vida de nuevo en tierras desconocidas, en nuestra nueva condición, mientras se perdía un poco la inocencia y la ingenuidad. Yo iba notando el poder que adquirían mis miedos, porque la ciudad es abrumadora y hay que aprender a andar en ella con cuidado. Yo me sentía pequeña en las grandes calles de asfalto y en medio de tantos edificios de concreto. Pero luego de unos años, sentí cómo empezaba a iluminar mi vida. Su foto, colgada en una pared, en el lugar donde trabajaba, causaba en mí cierto sentimiento y curiosa por lo que generaba en mí su figura, pregunté al que es ahora mi esposo y comencé a asistir al Centro SAE. Cada vez me sentía más inspirada y motivada. Supe que el grupo de jóvenes, junto con algunos devotos, eran voluntarios en la escuela complementaria Premasae. Así que yo también decidí hacer parte de ese grupo. Cada día de cada semana asistí a la escuela y me iba enamorando más de los niños. Entonces decidí empezar a estudiar en las noches para ser profesora de preescolar. Y mientras mis días se hacían más largos y agotadores, mi temperamento mejoraba. Hoy soy profesora de niños pequeños. ¿Cuánto amor hay en Baba para transformar nuestras vidas de la forma más suave y dulce. Mi vida es su mensaje, y en gratitud hacia Él, oro constantemente para que Él siga obrando a través de mí.
Coming out of the teenage years, university life is in full swing, and as the pressure builds, Swami's love and guidance becomes ever more important.
As I walked into the classroom on my first day of college, I thought to myself, how is my life going to be? I recall the days when everything I did was already decided for me. Now suddenly, I had to make my own decisions. It was a whole new experience for me. One day, I was invited by my friends to skip class and go for a movie. I dialed my mother's number to seek her permission. When a friend grabbed my phone, "You're such a baby! grow up, for God's sake, you lingo. I was embarrassed and wanted to show them that I was grown up. I started skipping classes, completing assignments at the 11th hour, and worst of all, getting involved with bad company. Around that time was when I got to know a girl named Maya. She was such a lovely girl who never stopped smiling. She listened to my story and told me simple truths. Truths I knew before, but had forgotten in my desperation to fit in. Love all, serve all. Be good, do good, and see good. Maya reminded me that peace should be expressed in feelings, words, and deeds. Only thoughts of God, an immense love for Him, can bring peace. The amount of love and devotion Maya had always guided her towards the right path. Through her example, I realized my mistakes and burst out crying like a child. It struck me that only if you always keep God in mind, all you will have is peace, peace, and peace. It is indeed a beautiful journey when peace is finally found.
To
Leaving the comforts of university life and entering the hustle and bustle of working life can come as a shock. It is then that we truly realize just how important the message of Sai is.
Swami transformed my working life. I had been born into a Sai family, and from a very young age I knew of Satya Sai Baba. But despite this, I still faced many difficulties in my working life. I started my career as a basketball player. After that, I worked for 2 years in the gambling industry. But none of these jobs gave me inner peace. I was unhappy and became ill. But things changed when I joined the Satya Sai youth group in Germany. Working with the youth was so much fun and it made me very happy. I decided to follow the wishes of my mother, who wanted me to be a teacher. I went back to university, studied sports and mathematics, and now I have a future as a teacher. Through my work, I hope that I can contribute to Swami's mission. Thank you, my dear Lord.
There comes a time in the life of many Sai youth where one becomes two. With Sai as the basis of a healthy relationship, two become one again as they grow towards Him.
Beloved Swami, some 11 years back, little did I know that with your immense grace, my life would take a complete 180 degree turn. Little did I know what ploy you had in store for me. Little did I know that as a mother, you would take care of me. As a father, you would protect me. As a guru, you would guide me. As a friend, you would walk by me. Swami, I was unaware of your divine existence, of your boundless love, of your magnificence. Swami, I learned about you from my wife and fell in love with your teachings. Gradually, I became awakened to true love in its deepest sense. I was drawn to you for your heavenly bhajans. Listening to your melodious voice, I experienced inner utmost ecstasy. You taught me the true meaning of devotion and music by inspiring me to listen to and sing blissful bhajans and Vedam. Swami, you led me from untruth to truth. You led me from darkness to light. You showed the right path to me. Swami, I will never forget that dark April 2008 episode when my wife was passing through a very difficult moment and even her life was at risk. Yet she surrendered completely to your divine will. We firmly believe that she was saved only by your infinite grace. Swami, you also bestowed upon us the strength to overcome the grief of losing our angel baby. Your delay has never been your denial, Swami. For your divine Leela, Swami, you blessed us with a miraculous little boy in September 2011. I shall be ever grateful to you, Swami, for having sent me the right life companion. Along with her, I am traveling on a wonderful spiritual journey. No words can ever express my gratitude to you, Swami. We love you, Swami. Thank you, Swami.
Love is the source.
Love is the source.
Love is the path.
Love is the path.
Love is the goal.
Love is the goal.
Swami, 'cause you
And life comes full circle as we receive the greatest gift of all, love in its purest form. We learn to love as a mother, as a father, just as we are all children of Sai.
Swami has always invested so much time and energy into children. And now, as a parent, I can completely understand why. The other day, my two daughters, aged 3 and 5, went to the park. And as always, they were so excited to use the swings and play on the slides, all the things that kids love about the park. But this time, they ran into a small challenge. There was a girl at the bottom of the slide who would reach out and pull on other children's feet before they could slide down, causing them to almost fall. Seeing this, my younger daughter was a little bit afraid. So my older daughter went up to the girl and said to her nicely, "Hey, please don't do that." But the girl didn't respond. So my daughter said again, "Please don't do that to my sister." But the girl ignored her and pulled on my younger daughter's foot anyway, causing her to almost fall down. After this, my daughter went over and spoke to her father. The girl's parents were also close by, so the adults managed the situation. But when everything was said and done, my daughter went back to the girl and said to her, "Hey, do you want to play with me? I can teach you how to use the slide." Seeing this, my heart swelled. I could not believe that even after being in a conflict with someone, her first reaction was love and kindness. As parents, we try our best to model Swami's values and Swami's teachings so that we can foster the Sai in our little ones, but we never really know if it is working. Right now, my daughters are too young to join SSE, so I draw heavily on my own background as a Sai youth and all the teachings that I have learned from Swami. And so my daughters know that in our household, Swami is not just a picture on the wall. Swami is an active and dynamic member of our family with whom each of us have a personal relationship. My children know that Swami's values are at the core of our family values. And that day, my daughter was my teacher. Her little incident on the playground reminded me that Swami's values of love, kindness, and inclusion apply to all of us at every age and every stage of our lives. Thank you, Swami, for being the head of our household.
In your small hand.
At 18 years old, we have no idea of the journey that lies ahead. But through all of this, one thing remains true. Swami's love and guidance is with us every step of the way. He teaches us the simplest of lessons, even when we ourselves do not know that we are learning. Let's take a moment to think. When was the last time that we thanked Swami for simply being able to be here? When was the last time that we thanked Swami for all of the experience he's given us? When was the last time that we reflected on what it truly means to be a Sai youth? Swami, as we sit here today as your united youth, let us promise that we will always be your messengers of love, that we will never forget your teachings, and may we be the ambassadors of your love, so that the next generation of youth may continue this legacy. When we depart from this World Youth Conference to return home, please, Swami, give us the strength to rise, stand up, and embrace your mission of love, so that we may spread it to every corner of the globe. Swami, we are your Sai youth.
We are the world, we are the world, we are a family.
you, World Music Team, for that heartfelt and inspiring performance. Dear Swami, sisters and brothers, get ready to be enthralled by the beautiful art of drama, as youths from around the world are going to present to us a play entitled, Love is the Path to Transforming the World. Please welcome the World Drama Team. Jay Sairam.
Blessings of our beloved Bhagavan, Sri Satya Sai Baba, on this auspicious occasion. Dearest Swami, you have said that the future of the country depends on the skill and the sincerity of the youth. Therefore, the necessary enthusiasm and encouragement must be generated among the youth. All my hopes are based on the students, the youth. They are very dear to me. Dearest Swami, though we have some of the brightest minds in the world today, these same minds cannot seem to build a peaceful, sustainable world. Many of your children are being battered by the winds of poverty, natural disasters, growing economic disparity, and political upheaval. Beloved Swami, we, the Sai youths of the world, have gathered here today to offer a drama which reflects our vow to follow your example and build a better world. We pray that this offering pleases you and may it inspire all watching to dive deep into the Sai within. May our lives transform into beacons of divine love and wisdom and show the path to global unity and prosperity. After all, love is the path to transforming the world.
Gentlemen, it is so good to see you today. I am truly excited for the International Symposium for Global Advancement. This milestone summit is a mere 3 months away. We have a lot to accomplish.
Yes, indeed. The program is developing nicely, and the media are already all over us. I mean, look at this group. We have a Nobel Prize laureate for his work in space exploration, Dr. Peter Nobel, this former prime minister and legal luminary, Mr. Matthew Adams, and one of the richest men in the world, Mr. Vincent Godfrey. In fact, Time magazine has called us the Fantastic Four and published an article on how we're expected to save the world.
Well, that's not a tall order for this group with you on board, Kevin. Surely, helping solve a few problems in the world is no big deal.
Gentlemen, we are an impressive group. That said, we need to think outside the box if we are truly going to meet global challenges. This is why, with your permission, I have invited a group of young men from the Satya Sai organization. If it suits everyone, may we hear from them now? Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for meeting with us today.
Thank you for having us, sir. We are honored to be able to speak with this august gathering today. Let me introduce you to our group. I am William Anderson from Denmark, and this is Hruday Sharma from India, Raj Kumar from the Fiji Islands, and Richard Reddy from South Africa. We are all youth members of the Satya Sai organization.
How did you convince Mr. Leo to get you into this room?
Actually, sir, that was me. I have met Mr. Leo during my time at the CERN as a physicist. I was taking Mr. Leo through our latest particle accelerator when we kind of got off topic. You see, Mr. Leo mentioned that he wishes his son was more like me. I serve as a SSE teacher and teach young children about practicing human values. I also work with youth to develop their inherent leadership qualities.
I must say, gentlemen, that is quite impressive.
Yes, indeed. But gentlemen, we are here to discuss some serious global vulnerabilities. Now, how are you equipped to advise us on such matters? Look at me, for instance. I have designed satellites, rockets to explore space, and even the latest missiles. Such scientific developments have changed the course of human history.
Sir, if I may, those developments are significant and did change the world. You seem to really enjoy your success and accolades.
Yes, I do. I have worked very hard for many years, young man.
Certainly, certainly. But did you think about those whose lives have been negatively affected by your work? Have you thought of how you have facilitated conflicts pitting nations against nations?
Mr. Sharma, I have thought of such consequences, but they are not my responsibility. After all, I am the one who is a part of this group here trying to achieve world peace.
Yes, sir. You are trying to be part of the solution. But the solution cannot arise until we acknowledge our role in the problem and decide with our hearts and minds to move forward. The only reason scientists and other great intellectuals are able to engage in work that hurts others is because we fail to see how truly connected we are. Our ability to empathize and walk in the shoes of the other has been weakened by our self-centeredness. Sir, if I may ask, can you create a flower?
No.
No, we cannot. And yet, we continue to consume and destroy nature like ill-disciplined children. Scientific advancement without respect for nature and awareness of our connectedness will only lead us into further problems. This is why our teacher, Satya Sai Baba, always reminded us, love all. So we ask the panel to consider this fundamental shift in attitude whilst preparing for the summit.
I must admit, Hriday, you are really making me think about this. I agree with your suggestion, but what about business leaders like me? I have employed thousands of people and helped their families prosper. I have even encouraged ethically sourced products such as coffee and tea and participate in spreading the availability of microfinance loans to many developing communities.
That is truly remarkable, sir. And it is because of the good work you have done that you are here. However, sir, if I may ask you a question, I understand that you come from a humble family background and began as a street vendor in Vancouver, Canada. Things were tough for many years, and you relied on the support of many people to get to where you are.
Yes, that's true.
So, how are those street vendors these days? You see, I work as a community liaison in Fiji, and I know how difficult it is for small business owners. Without the assistance of well-established business leaders, these individuals cannot survive. Have you stopped to look back at the people you shared the street with? I gather you haven't had the time to do so. Now, this is why we need to remember to serve all, as Satya Sai Baba has said, especially those who helped us grow. You know, recently, Fiji has experienced severe natural disasters, and the Satya Sai International Organization rushed to the aid of my afflicted community. From far and wide, aid came in the form of physical, medical, and financial assistance.
Started with the devastation on Saturday night, our brothers and sisters in Fiji woke up with devastation all around them. What we are doing is we've mobilized ourselves to support our brothers and sisters. So our first priority is to get them back on their feet with emergency relief help.
The Satya Sai team in Fiji very quickly mobilized ability to move and feed very, very needy communities that were devastated by the storm by providing them with food, ready-to-eat meals, and also providing with 600 gallons of water and also with 300 packs of groceries, which will last families over a week. Approximately about 20 volunteers are involved. All the volunteer work, the transport, the logistics, the coordination on the ground is actually provided by brothers and sisters of the SAI organization in Fiji.
That is heart-touching and reassuring that so many people are working together to help your homeland at a time of need. I take your point. We have to be mindful of how interconnected we are and help those most in need. In fact, I have developed high-density housing in urban cities, enabling many people to gain employment. I have built schools that have educated children of all backgrounds. And I have created monuments and museums which preserve the richness of our history.
Mr. Leo, if I may take this one. I have indeed admired many of your architectural and engineering accomplishments. However, some of the housing development projects you worked on left many poor people destitute. Slums and shanty towns are a part of life in many countries such as South Africa. And I can only imagine the hardship of these people when they were forced to leave their homes.
There are many aspects and issues to consider when planning for a development. Ultimately, certain concessions have to be made, and not everyone can be helped. It is the price of living in a city.
I can appreciate your sentiments, Mr. Leo. However, if we applied your skill and experience to the development of low-cost, durable, and safe housing for the most vulnerable, we could truly make a difference to the makeup of that very city. Crime rates would fall and communities would thrive.
Yes, that is possible. In fact, there are plenty of affordable housing solutions that were used in hurricane-ravaged areas such as in the USA and the Philippines.
Exactly. But why not aim even higher? Our teacher, Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, has built water delivery systems, schools, universities, and hospitals of the highest caliber, fully free of cost. If you don't mind, please let us share this video with you.
Manas bajare guru charanam. Manas bajare guru charanam. Dushtar bhava sagar taranam. Dushtar bhava sagar taranam. Guru Maharaj guru jai jai. Guru Maharaj guru jai jai. Sai Nath Sat guru jai jai. Sai Nath Sat guru jai jai. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Shivaya Namah. Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva.
Kalpuni yanta nashtamaina sariye, yanta kashtamaina sariye, Madras kanta kudunu manchi neeru andinchalani nenu sankalpinchukuntunnanu. ఇది తప్పక నెరవేరుతుంది, దీనికి సందేహమే లేదు. ఆ దృఢమైనటువంటి విశ్వాసాన్ని మానవుడు
మానస భజరే గురు చ
sharanam dustara bhava sagar taranam. Savajare Guru Taranam Dostara Bhavasta Garataranam.
That is truly remarkable. I can see where you get your vision and enthusiasm from. But why have I not heard of this before?
Swami has always encouraged us to become examples of selfless service. We do not do service for fame, recognition, or praise. It is because I see myself in the other person that I am moved to serve them. This is why we live by help ever. Look for every opportunity to be of service and do it with love.
That is a revolutionary way to see the world and be of service.
Okay, young men, I'm left. How do you think that I can be of better service? I have been the longest serving Prime Minister and have received the highest honors in the world. I strengthened my country's economy, revamped the national medical system, and introduced new laws to protect us against terrorism.
Mr. Prime Minister, I visited your country 2 years ago. You were a very popular leader. However, not all people felt that way. Your rise to power was at the cost of many religious and racial groups. You united your country through the fear of the other, and many people from minority backgrounds suffered tremendously. You have left your country more divided than ever before.
That is quite a strong accusation, young man. We have had this problem for centuries, and my mandate is to serve the majority.
Actually, sir, your mandate was to serve the people. All the people. Your meteoric rise was on the backs of others' suffering. How can we prosper if we do not practice hurt never? The only way to truly overcome such division is to see the underlying oneness and unity in all human experience. Many scriptures and religious paths state that there is one God, and many paths lead to the same goal. Without such understanding, we cannot heal as a country and global community. So how can we bring about such awareness? In the Satya Sai organization, we have the Bal Vikas and Satya Sai Educare programs, which nurture young minds to develop such broad-mindedness. Children are taught of human values and the unity underlying all faiths. In fact, in our spiritual home, Prashanti Nilayam, people of all walks of life congregate together and celebrate many holy festivals. You will see Christians and Muslims, Buddhists and Hindus, Jains and Jewish people, all moving together in a spirit of unity and love.
Manas bajare Guru Charanam. Manas bajare Guru Charanam. Dostara bhava sagar taranam. Dustar Bhava Sagar Taranam Guru Maharaj Guru Jai Jai Guru Maharaj Guru Jai Jai Sai Nath Sat Guru Jai Jai Sai Nath Sat Guru Jai Jai Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Shivaya Namah. Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva.
Kalukuni yanta nashtamaina sariye, yanta kashtamaina sariye, Madras kanta kudunu, manchi neeru andinchalani nenu sankalpinchukuntunnanu. ఇది తప్పక నెరవేరుతుంది, దీనికి సందేహమే లేదు. ఆ దృఢమైనటువంటి విశ్వాసాన్ని మానవుడు
మానసవజరే గురు చరణం దుస్తర భవసాగర తరణం మానసవజరే గురు చరణం దుస్తర భవసాగర తరణం
Sounds truly remarkable. Is it really true? I mean, what unites you all like that?
Dear panel, there is only one answer. Our teacher and dearest friend, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. His life and his teachings have shown us that love is the path to transforming ourselves and in turn the world. He worked tirelessly to guide his devotees in the path of love and service. The basis for Swami's teachings is unconditional, pure, selfless love. We, his youths, have taken a vow to carry forth his mission to re-establish righteousness in the world and to be exemplars of timeless virtues. Swami, we are ready and willing to be your instruments.
Well then, the time for action is now. Let us work together in the spirit of love, respect, and understanding. It is not too late. As a great soul once said, there is no difficulty that enough love will not conquer. There is no disease that enough love will not heal. No war that enough love will not throw down, and no sin that enough love will not redeem. It makes no difference how hopeless the outlook, how great the mistake. A sufficient realization of love will dissolve it all. And if you could love enough, you would be the happiest and most powerful person in the world. Gentlemen, nay, brothers, let us begin.
Beloved Swami, beloved Swami, at a time of great uncertainty and political upheaval, more than ever, we, your youth, need to practice and take your teachings to the world. All the solutions we need are to be found in the Sai Bhagavatam. Let us take up the mantle to implement the eternal values all over the world. Dearest Swami, you showed us the path of love and left your indelible footsteps in our heart. We will forever walk in your footsteps until we are embodiments of divine love, your prema swarupalara. Bhagavan, let our lives epitomize the truth that love is the path to transforming the world. Jai Sai Ram.
Sarva Prayapati, Swami Sarva Prayapati. Sai Baba Ji ki. Yeah.